WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flat.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ruff.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
I'm going to step off the laminate. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of wrestling talk right here on WrestleTalk Radio. As you can tell, I am not Omega because, frankly, we don't know if that guy is bunkering down or on his way to Oz. But I am Mace. I am here once again to help you through another week of crazy frivolity that we like to call WrestleTalk Radio. Joining me this week in the role yet to be determined is Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
Hello!
Can I be Omega with the snarky jokes and geek references?
Sure, you've probably got long enough hair to match his anyway.
I do, actually, although his is longer, I think. But I have better bangs.
And also joining us in the role of Tim Stein tonight, the other Jewish guy of the network, Sir Rockin.
Get off my damn lawn.
You have a
yeah,
lawn?
You're not old enough. You're not old enough to get that.
Yes,
plus, we've seen your house, dude. You do not have a lawn.
It's kind of just weeds and stuff. Anyway.
You have a patch of grass with a telephone pole and a fire hydrant in it. That doesn't count. And it's soon to be a parking space, so yeah.
Coming in like 2015 eventually. Yeah. Anyway. Hi, everybody. This is WTR Sunday Night, presented by PWMania.com. We're here to talk pro wrestling and whatever else we want to talk about. We're going to get into the PWA 500, though, tonight. So I hope everyone's looked over the list.
I noticed the 204 was missing.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't find that anywhere.
It was armbar.
Armbar. Like any list, armbar fits. So yeah, we're going to get into that tonight. And, you know, the great debate, round table, all the fun stuff we normally do. Plus, user-submitted quick hits.
Always fun. But as you heard in our little intro here, we decided to do our little bit of a tribute to the original Moonwalker himself, Neil Armstrong, that passed away a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. So sad.
It is indeed. But he was 82 years old. I guess it was just his time. He lived his life. But he will ever be immortalized with those famous words. Plus a footprint on the moon.
Yes.
No, who can't go wrong with a footprint on the moon?
He got to do something that not many of us, or pretty much all of us, will probably never get to do, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the ultimate top that biatches.
Yeah.
Seriously, how could you top being the first man to set foot on the moon?
Being the first man to set foot on Saturn? Mars?
I don't know. We can't find Perry anywhere.
He's a little crazy. Perry's a little crazy, just now.
Are we sure he's not at the tattoo shop getting more put on his face?
That's a drunk weekend in Singapore.
This is a
can you tell
fact.
I watched The Hangover 2 recently?
Yes, I can tell.
Is the monkey still with you? That's the question.
I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while, but if it starts to smell, I'll let you know.
Okay. Make sure he's not in your closet, dude.
No, nothing ever goes in there. It's a scary place of unknown tortures.
I don't have a segue for that.
You never do.
No. I don't want to know what's in your closet, because, you know, you get a lot of things from Japan, and, you know.
Well, speaking of the unknown, we could use that as a lead-in to Triple H's WWE future.
Well,
segue.
Well, I wasn't going to segue into that yet, but if you want to go into wrestling, we can. I was going to go Sesame Street first, but, you know.
I thought we were saving that till the commercial break, or we return from the next commercial, or whatever.
We'll see. We'll see how we go. Anyway, yeah, Triple H, is his career over, guys? Have we reached the end of the line for the game?
No.
No, unfortunately not. Because he's got to get his comeback.
He's got to get this comeback. But if you watch Monday Night Raw like we did, we talked about this on Monday. By the way, I should point this out. This show was formatted so, you know, people like Tim and Omega could talk about things from Raw.
Yeah.
But since we watched Raw, we don't have to worry about it. We can just throw the format out the window. Sweet!
You know. But, you know, they're not here tonight, so. But we'll get there.
Well, Omega has an excuse.
Yes, Omega has an excuse, and so does Tim, I guess, technically.
Yeah, but when Omega, I just want to know, when he lands in Oz, he's got to go and see Munchkin Land, then go down the Yellow Brick Road.
He's not going to go see it. He's going to take over.
Now, take over the Emerald City. I could see that happening.
Does he have the red shoes?
He's going to get them. He's got to stop in Kansas first, but yeah, he's going to get them. It's all part of his evil plan for a hostile takeover.
Now you're giving away his secrets. He's not going to like that.
I didn't say he was going to do it by a hot air balloon or anything. Oops.
Him and his army of Transformers are going to take over.
technology!
So yeah, Triple H, apparently, guys, is going to be on Raw, though. This coming Monday. Are we surprised by this?
Hey.
So we get another 3 hours of the Triple H show. Is he or isn't he retiring?
So we're going to, you know, they're probably going to use, you know, the old script from years ago, the Vince McMahon death script for him.
They're going to blow him up?
Yeah, that was the first thought I had. They're going to blow him up in the limo?
All right!
They might as well get used out of the angle. It's already been written for them.
Well, hell, they already made it sound last Monday like he died instead of just losing, so why not blow him up and complete the transition?
Because that's too easy.
Because that'd make a lot of people happy.
You would think it would make a lot of people happy, but, you know, the other 90%ers out there probably are going like, oh my god, Triple H is going to retire. Oh my god, what am I going to do?
Triple H is not going to retire permanently. If he was going to do that, they would do it at Mania. He's one of those that gets the Mania send-off.
Even though he tried so hard to be like Shawn and Taker, walking out so slowly, and Ric Flair, you know, the teary-eye farewell at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
He tried.
Yeah,
he tried.
No.
Look, I'm going to be attending a house show this Saturday from the Raw side of things, and I'm expecting Triple H to rock up there.
The thing about it is he signed a new contract with them for what, like $1 million or $2 million for how many dates? I think it's equivalent to maybe a year or 2 years, something like that.
Something along those lines, yeah.
He just signed it, what, last year?
I believe so. A new talent contract, yeah.
So, he's not done, folks.
If he's going to be an office person, he needs to stay in the office. That's one thing you never do. You never have a wrestler who's the booker of your company. You never have somebody that's involved in the office side of things in the ring as a performer. Because then ego takes over and we get shit like this.
You mean how they're building to another matchup between Brock Lesnar and Triple H?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What's even sadder is they're using this as the setup for Taker Brock at Mania.
Oh.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch the show, there were hints. They did drop some hints, like, you know, he's the master, lord, and, you know, the universe, or the ray of the WWE, or something along those lines. So it's like,
I know, and did I not tell you that this segment should end with bells and lightning?
You did.
And a dead man. And he didn't show up. He's abandoned.
Yeah, but the setup is there, though. Brock has beaten Triple H. All Brock needs to do is have Heyman turn around and go, guess what? Brock's now beaten Triple H. He's going to move further up the totem pole. Who's the one guy Triple H has not beaten at WrestleMania? The Undertaker. Guess who's next?
So how do you explain...
That's all you set up. That's all you need.
But how do you explain the Brock, oh, I've done everything I want to do in the WWE. He suddenly, it dawns on him like a beam from heaven. Ding! Oh my God, I've never gone for the streak at Mania. I'm so going to go do that.
Well, of course.
You realize that's probably more plausible than anything given the intelligence of Brock Smash?
I understand that. But I've been watching a lot of the Tudors over the past weekend, so it's like religious... iconography has just been pounded into my brain for the past 3 days.
Well, earlier this week, WWE.com put out a list of things Brock Lesnar can still conquer in WWE. Become general manager.
No.
No, that would be Heyman, which he's already done.
Beat John Cena.
Impossible.
Who cares?
Rematch with the reinvented Rock.
No.
No.
Challenge the streak.
That's plausible.
Yeah.
Win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Why?
He'd be a more credible champion than Sheamus.
True, but he doesn't need to win it. He's already been champion.
But think about it, they could do a nostalgia factor. Rock could become WWE champion, and Brock could be the World Heavyweight Champion.
And there's your unification match.
If we get one.
Oh, look, there goes the buy rates. Straight down the toilet. Mind you, I'm surprised that list doesn't have be the star of the Marine 4. To be honest, I would buy Brock Lesnar in the lead role of the Marine than anyone else they've put in there so far.
I would have bought Orton, but, you know, his whole past thing, yeah. I can understand why they pulled him. Actually, DiBiase was not bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't good, but he was better than Cena.
I like how that's the standard, be better than Cena.
Hey, if you can't be better than Cena in the ring, you might as well be better than Cena in the movies.
There you go. I mean, look at it. Look at the movies they put out, who they've had in them. Cena, Austin, Hunter, Orton, DiBiase, and Miz. And is there anybody else? Barrett hasn't come out yet.
They had some big red guy in one.
We don't talk about that.
We're not allowed to talk about that one?
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Is it like a Tuesday event we're no longer allowed to talk about?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
That didn't happen.
Never happened, okay. Just making sure.
It's kind of like Katie Vick. We do not speak of it, and it never happened.
You just mentioned it. Shame on you, Lindsay Ward. Shame
I know,
on
I'm
you.
I'm a bad fangirl. I'm not a true fangirl. What can I say?
So yeah, Triple H will be on Raw Monday night. Yay!
Which means if Hunter's there, then they'll probably have Sean involved in some capacity, either via satellite or on the phone, or he'll show up. Go, no, buddy, you can't do it. You can't retire.
No,
I am so glad I'm going to be missing pretty much all of Raw.
Oh, I hate you.
Don't worry. We're going to quiz you next week on Wrestle Talk Radio all about it.
I'm not showing up next week. I'm going to take a week off, seeing as everybody else seems to take a week off every week.
No, because then I have to cover for you.
You'll hopefully have Omega back by then. Who knows? With the way that the things are going down there, he might end up the next door neighbor to you.
No, they don't allow that kind of crap here.
I don't think they'd have a choice if his house gets sent all the way to next to yours.
Wait. They don't let Transformers in Utah?
Nope.
What kind of crime? That's a crime.
That's against the creationism.
Well, Triple H...
God did not make no robots.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
No, they don't allow a lot of crap here. I don't know if they don't allow Transformers, but yeah. Anyway, moving on. While Triple H is going to be on Raw,
Chris Jericho won't be. He's going back on the road with Fozzy.
And a resounding who gives a shit was heard by all.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but the question is, did Chris Jericho go out the right way?
No.
No.
And of course, once again, we're reiterating stuff that we said last Monday night on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Monday, Thursday, every other day.
Can we just say fuck this shit and tell them to listen to the rack?
Well, the short version is we don't like this. It's one of those things of he should have gone out, well, pretty much on his back properly, or if he was going to do anything, he should have, you know, shook Ziggler's hand and told him to drop Vicky. That's pretty much at least how I see it. I don't know about you, Lindsay. Well, I do know because I was on the rack, but...
Yeah.
For the people who weren't listening to the rack on Thursday, please reiterate.
Yeah. I was okay with it up until Jericho took down Ziggler. And then once Jericho took down Ziggler, it was shit. Jericho should have stayed down and had Ziggler walk out triumphant or do what you said, shook Ziggler's hand and told him good match or best opponent or something like that and then put him over in some other way. And I don't know if he should have told him to drop Vicky. I don't think he's there yet. I think they're holding that for when he wins the belt. But, yeah, him getting this even Steven booking they do, where it's Dolph picks up the win in the high-stakes match, proving Jericho can't get it done, and then Jericho, in a hissy fit, takes out Ziggler and walks out. You just essentially put over the guy that's leaving versus the guy that's staying, and that makes no sense. Because think about it. What do people remember about that match Monday? They remember Chris Jericho taking out Dolph Ziggler and walking out. And that's it.
Yeah.
They don't remember
Which is a shame, because this was actually a better match than what they put on at SummerSlam.
Oh, absolutely. It was a phenomenal match. I wish they had had those stakes at SummerSlam. You know, where it's Money in the Bank versus contract and winner take all kind of thing. And let them have that match at SummerSlam rather than give it away for free on Raw, because it was way better on Raw than it was on SummerSlam. SummerSlam, it was just
more
like
investment.
Yeah, it's a match. It's not even a big match. They're going, oh, Chris Jericho won, he can get it done. What did he win? He won a match on a pay-per-view. Hoo-hoo!
And it would have been nicer if Jericho loses, then they can turn around, oh, he has lost the big one. This was his big chance on one of our biggest pay-per-views.
Yeah.
At which point, it would have meant more. But, again, we're not the ones booking WWE, or at least not that we're getting paid to.
Yeah. If you would like to start paying us WWE, you can send the checks to care of Mace and just give me Wade Barrett and or Kane.
Yeah, I'll take money. She'll take wrestlers. Hopefully I actually get to see Wade Barrett this weekend.
I hope so.
Be interesting as always gimmicks like, actually.
Yeah,
unless he shows up this Monday on Raw.
I don't know. I thought for sure he was going to show up potentially at SummerSlam, but they haven't done it yet, so I'm curious to see when they pull the trigger.
And yeah, I know. It's one of those things of, like, I'm sitting here and we're seeing 2 weeks in a row of these packages, and it's like, okay, could you bring him out already? We don't need a 4-week build-up.
Because I'm also kind of curious who they're going to bring him back against. Because he's obviously coming back as a heel.
I could actually see him taking on Ziggler.
I'd be okay with that.
He could turn around and say, you know, I was supposed to be in the Money in the Bank match, but because of my injury or something like that, and start chasing him down for the case.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's elevate the case. Let's make it actually mean something.
I wouldn't mind having them feud over the case, do it the Anderson style, but the question is who do you have go over? Do you have Ziggler or do you have Barrett?
I'd say Ziggler, but find a way to keep Barrett looking strong. Like, have it be by a countout or some double countout or something.
Yeah.
In the final, so that way both men look strong. And it also gives them a reason to feud once, if Ziggler gets the title. Because then you'd have ready-made feud.
Yeah. By the way, Jersey, I heart Drew McIntyre, I really do, but I haven't seen him on TV in God knows how long, so I'm kind of giving up on him at this point. Until he pops back up on TV, it's kind of pointless.
Drew McIntyre who?
Drew McIntyre, yeah, exactly.
I thought Superstars is TV.
I don't watch Superstars.
Not in the U.S.
Good point.
The one and only time I watched Superstars was when Kane was on it. And I just fast-forwarded right to his match. Bless you, online. Bless you so much. But yeah, Rock, I don't know how much you heard, but we were talking about Wade Barrett's return and potentially who they could bring him back against.
I think I caught you guys saying Ziggler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's a good choice, but I don't know if that heel thing would work.
Let's face it, Dolph is not going to be he's not going to be a heel for much longer. That boy be turning, yo.
But the question is, when do you turn him? When is the right time to turn him? Is it when he wins the world title finally?
I don't think it really matters. I'll be very honest with you. He's one of these guys who can gradually turn, and you don't even realize that you've sat through it. And especially because it's all crowd-based, mm-hmm. They're the ones that are turning him. It's sort of like how, and I hate to make this comparison, we went from Rocky sucks to everybody loving The Rock. It was a crowd thing that took its time. Same with Zack Ryder. He started out as a heel. The crowd slowly turned him face. All of a sudden, face!
That's a good point. When would you turn him, Lindsay?
I don't know. It's kind of hard. I would like to see just a real subtle turn with him, but my one fear is that he's not going to be as good of a face as he is a heel. His personality, at least his on-camera personality, really lends itself to being a heel, and I almost don't want to see him go face.
But that's the brilliance of all this. He doesn't have to change his personality. He can keep being the show off. He can still keep acting cocky, and the fans are still eating it up.
Right.
Not every face has to be, yay, look at me, clap for me, I'm such a good guy. We can have the arrogant, cocky face who the crowd loves. It's what drove Austin in the 90s.
I know, I'm worried they're not going to do it right, and that's the thing.
As long as they keep their hands off it and let the crowd make the decision, it will work.
That's why it's not going to work, because you know they can't keep their hands off of anything.
I know, shut up and let me dream.
Remember, they book everything, including our reactions, and then get mad at us when we don't react the way they want us to. Believe me, if they could give us all a lobotomy and have us cheer for John Cena and buy his shit, they would be happy.
She has a good point.
Yeah, I can't really flaw that logic.
Think about it. This is probably why they went to PG and to kids, is because kids that are, from 7 to 13... I think is what they're shooting for, or something like that, are very impressionable and easily moldable. They are prone to suggestion. So it's easier for them to tell kids, oh, hey, cheer for this person because we want you to, versus an adult who can make a logical decision.
Again, I can't dispute her at all.
Yeah, it's that flawless logic thing. Yeah.
Sorry.
Since we can't do that, we're going to take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll get into more news and a roundtable and all that fun stuff. But on our way out, it's the song of the count right here on Wrestle Talk Radio Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You'll know that I am called the Count, because I really love to count. Sometimes I sit and count all day, but sometimes I get carried away. I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start in counting, it's very hard to stop. Hey, faster, faster, it is so exciting. I could count forever, count until I drop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, I love counting, whatever the amount. 1, 2, 3, 4, hey, 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 hey. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, that's the song of the count. I count the spiders on the wall. I count the cobwebs in the hall. I count the candles on the shelf. When I'm alone, I count myself. Oh, yeah. I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start counting, it's very hard to stop.
faster, faster. It is so exciting. I could count forever, count until I drop. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. I love counting, whatever the amount. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. That's it. So, oh, the count.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Fuck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Attention, Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kid-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Presented in part by PWMania.com. Monday night was all about respect. between...
Then shouldn't we have come back to the song respect?
I was just thinking that.
Then we opened
the door. And we fucked Rock over once again. Congratulations, Lindsay! High five!
High five!
Fuck you both. Fuck you both.
Remember, you asked us to be on this show.
Well, no, technically I didn't. Technically I didn't. You said, fuck, I have to be on the show. That's
just, when you said Tim and Omega weren't going to be here, that automatically means Lindsay has to do the show, because Mace and you won't do it by yourselves.
No, of course not. Why would we do a show by ourselves?
That'd be somewhat boring and unoriginal.
I know, right?
Totally. But we should acknowledge before we jump into the new story of the passing of Jerry Nelson, who was the voice of the Count, which is why we played it on the outro there.
Yeah.
He's also done all sorts of voices throughout the years on The Muppet Show, including Sergeant Floyd Pepper, the bass guitarist of the Electric Mayhem Band. He was also the voice of Carmella the Chicken, which is Gonzo's... regret to say girlfriend.
Go be Shiela.
Yeah. he was also Mr. Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street.
Our childhood is dying. This is not okay.
I know. This is not cool, man. he was also the voice of one of my favorite Muppets of all time. He was Statler.
Oh, no!
Of Statler and Waldorf.
Was he really?
Yes. Yeah, this hurts right in the childhood. It really does.
I have to go cry now. Well, at least we got him on Raw, which is all that matters.
Unfortunately, that wasn't even him for the Raw. He stopped doing Statler, I think about 1992, just before that whole New Muppets Tonight or whatever it was series aired. He was Statler during like the glory years of like seasons 2 through 5 of the Muppet Show.
Well, I think we can agree that it just hasn't been the same without Jim Henson.
True, but still. Ouch, right in the childhood.
I know.
Killing off our childhood one day at a time.
I know! It's really sad that, you know, here it is. It's like some of the greatest moments in most of our lives, and in the case of Neil Armstrong, our parents' lives. Or Tim's life.
Well, he was a hero of Tim's. Tim did tell me that.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of sad when you see all these guys go, and sort of, it's mortality setting in.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is, but, you know, we do give them all the respect that they deserve, that they have earned throughout the years.
But has CM Punk earned your respect? Has he earned the respect of the locker room and the WWE universe?
CM Punk can do no wrong in my eyes.
Backstage, he's probably earned a lot more respect than they let on.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the camera, character-wise, I'd probably say not so much.
Elaborate.
Well, okay. Since, like, what he's been saying is founded. You know, he's been the WWE champion for 8 months. He's been the main event on one pay-per-view. So, you know, stuff like that, that's all founded. But the way he carries on about it is not exactly being a dignified champion. It's not trying to bring any prestige to the belt. It sounds like he's being a spoiled brat. Which, don't get me wrong, I love the gimmick. But, you know, when you look at what he's actually doing, he's acting more like a spoilt little brat than somebody who's actually earned his way to the top.
I could agree with that, but...
Which is why Cena got away with cutting that goddamn promo over him on Monday, and everybody go, oh my god, it's fucking revolutionary! No, it's not, you fucking retards.
But could you argue that, you know, everybody has their breaking point? Because had they done this, like, right after Mania, I could understand that, but Punk hasn't been in a main event since last December last year, correct?
TLC.
So that's 8 months? I mean, couldn't you argue everybody has their breaking point where it's, hey, I'm the WWE champion, I've held it for 8 months, I took a step back for Cena, and now I'm stuck in that spot, and it's the John Cena show.
Then if CM Punk is the one who took the step back, then he's put himself into this position, and he has no one to blame but himself.
True.
But, yeah, like I've said, you know, he's correct in everything he said. You know, champion should be main event of pay-per-views, should be the guy that gets the respect, and yet all anybody has ever done from his opponents over the last few months to sections of the crowd to, you know, the way that he's been booked, all they've been doing is shitting on him. And to have Cena act the way he did on Monday night just proves Punk's point, because all Cena did was shit on him. And it seems the only way that we're going to see the main event, or at least title in the main event, is when John Cena has the fucking belt.
And is that a problem WWE has, that they can't see the WWE title in the main event if it doesn't include John Cena? Is that a major problem?
Let me think about that. Yes!
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, it is. I think we can all agree at this point, at least the way they book him, John Cena is beyond the belt. He doesn't need it to be in the main event, as the last 8 months have proven.
He practically said it himself on Monday night, that he was bigger than the belt. He was bigger than the business. He doesn't need any of this to be the top guy, because he's John Cena and he will be the top guy. So it just... my think hurts.
Well, keep your think on and answer this question. What's the match you would rather see? John Cena versus CM Punk? Or John Cena versus Jerry the King Lawler?
Why would Cena fight Lawler?
Not Cena. I mean CM Punk versus Lawler.
Punk versus Lawler.
To be honest, on pay-per-view, I'd rather see Cena versus Punk. On Raw, I'd rather see Punk versus Lawler. Like, seriously, this thing with Lawler is minuscule at best.
As someone told me today, why would CM Punk attack a 70-year-old announcer like Jerry the King Lawler?
Lawler's not 70.
I know this. The person I talked to didn't, but, you know. Point being, why would he attack a 70-year-old announcer? How dare he?
Who hasn't attacked Jerry Lawler at this point? Just curious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To get over, you need to attack Jerry Lawler. Yeah.
It's cheap, easy heat. Jerry Lawler is the face commentator of the company. He's essentially in the JR slot. So to get instant heat, you attack Jerry Lawler. They did it with Michael Cole.
And think about that. He is now the lead announcer.
I know. They even put him in JR's spot, too. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, my thing hurts. Anyway, moving on.
I can't even think about this anymore.
Taker attack Lawler? Has that ever happened?
I don't know if Taker... I don't rem- if he did, it may have been when he was still wrestling. I don't know if he's done it as an announcer, but I know Taker attacked JR.
Yeah, he just attacked JR. Everyone's attacked JR as well. Anyway, moving on. Friday Night on SmackDown, we saw a bunch of tag teams. The question I ask everyone, what tag team currently on the roster would you actually build the tag team division around?
To be honest, and I've been thinking about this one for quite a while, I wouldn't build it around any of them. Because to be honest, none of them really seem worth building the division around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of them are teams that I even give a shit about. That's the thing, they need to build the division to something I can give a shit about before they can start building it around one specific team.
So you can't get behind the Usos or Primo and Epico or the Primetime Players? They're not a team you can get behind?
No, they're throwaways.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, they would need to build them and establish them more before I could get it behind them. I mean, hell, when was the last time, short of the 1000th Raw, the Usos were on TV?
I don't... were they even on the 1000th Raw? No, they weren't.
Or whenever they showed up with Rikishi, that was the last time I remember them being on TV.
I think they were on SmackDown this week, I think.
If they were, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but beyond that, yeah. You have the Usos, you have R-Truth and Kofi Kingston, the Primetime Players, Primo and Epico, Gabriel and Kid, and I think that's it. That's quote-unquote five tag teams, but there's no one that stands out and goes, oh, they're the great tag team.
Here's the thing, when I think of tag teams...
Mm-hmm.
I think of, like, Legion of Doom. I think of the Dudley Boys. And just to go to TNA, Beer Money. To talk about a slap-together tag team that became cohesive. You know, it's... You've got a couple slap-together tag teams, which is fine, but they've done nothing to really make them cohesive. They've done really nothing to make them... seem like one unit, because I think, at least to me, that's the point of being a tag team, is you're two people, one unit. And just, they don't do anything for me.
So WWE, in your opinion, needs to spend more time developing these tag teams to get you invested in them?
Yeah. Make me care about them.
Kane Kins has an interesting question. Who was the last relevant WWE tag team?
Since Jersey put it in there, Randy and Edge. But I agree with her. Randy and Edge were slapped together, but they made you care about them.
Because they were already semi-main eventers at that point.
Yeah, they were already semi-main eventers, but you cared about them. I mean, you can also argue Triple H and Austin were slapped together. They made you care about them.
Legacy,
they made you care. Rhodes and DiBiase, they made you care about. There was a time in this company where they cared about tag teams, and they used to make you care, and they stopped.
And that's sad, because I can't think of any other tag team off the top of my head that's not, like, a couple main eventers tagging together.
Yeah.
Boy, WWE, you've done it that much.
I'm, it's like, when was the last relevant tag team?
Yeah.
And then we all sit here and we scratch our heads because we go,
relevant tag, what?
What are they?
the honestly, the only one that popped in my head was Brothers of Destruction, but they don't count.
You have the Heart Dynasty,
we're getting things like
Jericho.
No, can't count that. It's throwaway tag team. Randy and Edge, throwaway tag team. Not just two single guys who have been put together just for the sake of a tag team. Proper tag teams.
You got M&M, Mercury, and Nitro.
For the short while that they lasted, 2005.
Okay.
They were together for a year or so. You have Miz and Morrison.
Throwaway tag team.
London and Kendrick.
Throwaway tag team.
The Basham Brothers.
99?
Huh?
No, the Basham Brothers were like...
Basham Brothers 2000s. Were 2005. Doug and Danny Basham.
Fuck.
I got one for you. The Legion of Doom, Road Warrior, Animal, and Heidenreich.
Oh.
Throwaway tag team in the dumpster.
Hey.
I don't count that as a... No, that's an insult to the Legion of Doom name. That's...
Haas and Benjamin, Haas and Benjamin, the world's greatest tag team.
Yeah. I'd say they were relevant because they actually did something. They were creative.
Okay, here's a relevant one. The Hart Dynasty.
Yeah, they are relevant, yes, but they weren't really notable, though. Because they're always on fucking superstars. At most, they might get a match on SmackDown.
La Resistance.
Oh, good fucking lord.
DX.
No. I'm sorry, DX only had one tag team, and that was the New Age Outlaws.
For this next one, I need to play their music, if I can find it real quick. Here we go. Hopefully. Here we go.
Kenny! Johnny! Ned! Nikki! Mikey! And we are... The Spirit Squad!
Wow.
And you know what? That was more of a stable than a tag team.
I'm going through tag team champions right now.
Yeah, that was tag team champions, but there was five of them! That's like saying Evolution was a good tag team. It was a goddamn stable!
Hurricane and Rosie?
Rosie was the shit, yo.
Billy.
Regal and Tajiri.
Regal and Tajiri. Billy and Chuck.
Oh, good lord.
We're already back to 2002. That's how far back we're going. So it's like...
Okay, so basically the last time there were any real tag teams that could even be close to be calling relevant was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
We're in 2012.
Yep.
7 years have passed since we've had any relevant tag teams.
Pretty much.
And now Triple H is in charge, and he wants to make tag team wrestling relevant again. Well, how about you create some proper tag teams?
That'd be a nice
start. Bring in the best thing to do. Bring in guys from FCW, NXT, or whatever the fuck you're calling it now, mm-hmm. as tag teams. Because I know they've got tag teams in NXT. Or fucking FCW, or OVW, or Saturday Night Superstars, or whatever the fuck they want to call it this week.
It's NXT.
Whatever. But the point is, they have tag teams in that developmental system. Bring them up. Because that's the beauty of a tag team. You don't have to be 100% ready like you do as a single superstar. With a tag team, you can hide your flaws a lot easier.
King Kittens, you go to the corner.
King Kittens, out the fucking door. banishment.
Yeah. Now, go, and bring cake when you come back. Just for that one.
For those of you wondering what has been said, Kane Kittens brought up Blay Cool. Bringing up that tag team means an instant banishment.
They were not a tag team.
They were a couple of sluts that got together to suck dick.
I like to point out he said it, not me. I just thought it.
Oh god, she's been here long enough that I'm starting to read her mind too. Fucking hell.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it gets worse, trust me. Just ask Rock, Tim, and Omega.
It's bad that me and Lindsay are reading each other's minds now, so you know.
Yeah, we're getting on the same waves. This is bad. But yeah, anyway, to go back to my point, Lay Cool is not a tag team. They don't have women's tag team belts or divisions or anything like that. I mean, hell, they got to share the women's title. Do you know how wrong that was? They shared the women's title.
Yeah. And MN0733 in the chat room is bringing up some absolutely brilliant tag teams in the likes of Demolition, the Killer Bees, British Bulldogs, Heart Foundation, Rockers, Strike Force, Twin Towers. Yeah, even the worst ones in the 80s are better than today. But unfortunately, that's the 80s. That's, you know, 30 years ago. That's 30 years. We're trying to find something a bit more recent, please.
Yeah,
But thank you for bringing up when tag team wrestling was alive and well and was a very credible part of wrestling culture.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where you're calling from? Welcome to WTR Sunday Night.
Hey, my name is Artrell. I'm from Milwaukee. I'm representing Wrestling Fan Speak Out.
What's
How
on
you guys
your
doing?
Not bad. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, no, I'm just down here, just preparing for the tomorrow show down here in Milwaukee, Monday Night Raw.
Oh, fun. Are you going?
Well, no, but I have, like, family that's going to be going. I'm going to end up going to the Green Bay show when they're going to be for SmackDown on Tuesday.
Oh, that's pretty good, then.
That'd be fun.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I met a few of them already, because some of them are already down here, so...
It's
all good.
Very nice.
Right. So what were y'all talking about? Was it something to do with like tomorrow's Raw?
We're currently talking about how there are no tag teams in WWE at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think I want to say that to none of them because a few of them are around here where I'm at right now, so I don't want to say that in front of them. But I do agree they do need some like tag teams, mm-hmm. at least like build them up more. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, we've been talking about the last relevant tag team that WWE has had, and we had to go back to like 2005 to really get one.
Right.
Yeah. So what go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
No, I'm just saying, but yeah, it's just like for the past couple of years, it's just like the tag team division just like fall out, and like as of late, they're trying to build them back up, which is good. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they just keep going and keep doing that.
But in your opinion, how would you think would be the best way for them to go about it, to rebuild the tag division?
Well, I wouldn't just, like, do what they did with, like, Coffin and R-Truth, just put, like, top superstars or mid-card superstars together, just, like, get, like, tag team from their development division and build them up and just bring them in.
I like this guy. He thinks like me.
Thanks. But yeah, that's just my opinion, what they should do with tag teams, or like, if they got like good friends that's like singles, whatever, they'll put them two together, and since they know each other really well, just put them together and just build them from the ground up.
So,
sounds good.
Yeah, but out of the current tag teams, who would you build the tag team division around?
Oh, currently?
Currently.
Oh wow, that's a tough one. Especially from WWE, that's kind of a tough one because they just started building them all up. But if I had to choose, I would have to say the Usos.
What's that?
Well, it's like they've been a tag team for I think almost 2 years now, I think. But yeah, and that's in my opinion, that's what they should do, just build the tag team division around them. But they have been tag team the longest out of the current tag team that they have on the WWE roster now.
And that's a kind of sad point too. Like the Usos, the longest together tag team in the WWE.
Right. That's just what I think, because if they been together so long, and plus they're good in the ring in my opinion. So I would just say, just start with them, then have them be the team to beat, then just have other tag teams come up and be the suit until they decide who they want to be their franchise as a tag team.
They need to start building a dominant tag team, basically.
Right.
Which they don't really do, because they just, we win this week. Oh no, next week this team will win, and you don't get anywhere if you don't build up a team as a dominant team.
Right.
Well, hopefully they listen to us and do it.
Yeah, and like I said, there are a few of them around me right now, so.
Okay, I have to ask, who's there?
From what I know, although I missed them, but I know The Miz is here at the moment. Who else? The camera guy is here. Michael Cole, Josh Matthews is here. And Jamie Noble, of course, he's their role agent, of course. And John Laurinaitis right now, he's on the other side of me and Eden.
Wow.
Wow. Well, look, do us a bit of a favor. If you see Michael Cole, give him a wedgie. if you see Josh Matthews, tell him the guys over at WTL love him. And John Laurinaitis, just don't let him speak at all.
And if you see Kane,
he hasn't been speaking much.
If you see Kane, tell him the fangirls say hi.
I will hope to run into him, so we'll see.
He's kind of hard to miss.
Right, because I know he was here a couple years back, and I missed him by about 20 minutes.
Oh,
that's
a shame.
Yeah, that sucks.
But look, have fun at SmackDown. Probably get a hold of Andy over at pwmania.com. Send him some results from the night. I'm quite sure he'll let you post them up there. Because I know, believe you were part of a website, yes?
Yeah, I am. www.wrestlingfanspeakout.com. And just like you guys, have a radio show too, but we normally just do it every Monday, but it's going to be doing it Wednesday because what's going on here.
All good.
Sounds good.
All good, man.
Thanks for calling in tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
All right, take care.
Stay safe.
All right, you too.
There you go. With that said, we're going to go to our roundtable after this timeout. You're listening to WrestleTalk Radio at WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented in part by, PWMania.com. So yeah, we're getting to our roundtable and the PWI 500 and all the other fun stuff after this quick timeout here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is what happens when someone drunk dials CB radio.
Rock!
Spog!
We decided we were going to go out, and I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I'm never going to get fucked up. Crazy little tipsy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight, so I'm going to have to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Pig sex. I'm gonna go to BP, live on the air.
Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
No, I put it back on. I should walk in there with no pants. Walk in there. I should walk in there with a pants on my ankles and ask where the condoms are. No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
My dude is texting.
You stupid dog. Okay, when you sit there and wave at people that you're closed, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it.
Please tell me he has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I'm outside. I'm not gonna. If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I caught the cigarette for some bandanas. Well, you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight-ish to see who will drunk dial CB Radio next.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo!
Welcome back to Jimmy.
Hi, welcome back to the wrestling show, Boyle.
Okay.
What he said.
Yeah, what he said. Presented by PWMania.com. This is WTR Sunday night. This is our second hour, and we're going to get into all the fun stuff we normally do, which includes the WTR roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
And we can say that this week as much as we like, because guess what? Omega's not here.
So
for, if Omega does get blown away, can we play that as, at his memorial service?
Yes we can. So the question is, has Sheamus' title reign been a letdown so far?
Well, okay, I'll be honest. It's hard to say yes or no. It's one of these things where it's,
Hello?
Oh, good fucking lord.
Oh my god.
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Eric Nordberg.
Okay, anyway, back to your point, Mace.
Thank you.
Dude, stop calling us.
I did have a point, but I lost it now.
Shit.
Seamus's title reign. It's hard to sort of put any type of, yeah, it's good, or no, it's horrible on it, because it's one of those title reigns that never really got off the ground. It hasn't really, besides the stuff with Alberto, it's not really got anything to be measured by. He's sort of just the champion. He's just there. So I can't really say if it's good or bad, really.
And whose fault is that? Is that WWE's fault? That he's had the belt, what, 6 months at this point?
Something like that.
Yeah. I definitely put the fault on the company. They haven't really been bothering to put anything on, so.
Well, how much of the fault is the company versus they just really have had no one that can feud with him? Because if you think about it, the only name on SmackDown is Randy Orton, and he got suspended for 2 months right there after Mania. So, I mean, because, yeah, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you had injuries, you had people on suspension. I don't think much of that is WWE's fault. Well, it is partially because they haven't built anybody, but, and you can't help for injuries and Randy Orton being an idiot.
Yeah, but, and I hate to say this because it's a point I bring up so fucking often with SmackDown, that nobody gives a shit about SmackDown.
Oh, I agree.
The writers seriously don't seem to care about SmackDown at all. So they don't really want to put the effort into it, which I find very disturbing.
Yeah.
Because why am I supposed to care about SmackDown if they don't care about SmackDown?
Because Vince wants you to care even though he doesn't care.
No, it doesn't quite work that way.
I mean, think about it. They care so much about it that they've got it on Sci-Fi. It's not even on a major network. It's on Sci-Fi.
This is a good point. It really is a good point.
And I believe we have a caller.
We do have a caller. Caller, welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hello?
I just hung up on you.
This is Eddie Nordberg, or whatever the fuck his name is. Quit calling, for Christ's sakes, if you don't want to talk wrestling. We don't want you on the show!
Sweet, Tim's here. I can drop off now.
No.
Win!
No.
No, you stay exactly where you are. We're still missing an Omega.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to International Topless Day. Did you know that that's what it was today? I have whiplash.
I could so make a joke, but I'll be good.
No, don't be good. Make the joke.
Checking out all the stud muffins for you there, Timmy?
Absolutely not. And that wasn't even close to even being funny. So I got bad news for you. Just for that, you have to stay on until the end of the show. See you guys.
Aww.
Bye. I'm hanging up now.
No, you're not. Oh, this is what? Your show.
Click.
You're still here.
You're still here. So I'm going to ask you the question, Tim. Has Sheamus' title reign been a letdown so far?
Has it been a letdown?
Yes.
It's been, with all royalties going to Mace, it's been meh. That's what it's
been. Credit card, check, or cash?
Yep. Do you accept PayPal? No? Too fucking bad.
Frosted Flakes, he accepts those too.
You know, it's been whatever. I mean, it hasn't been exciting. Sure, I'm glad he's champ instead of Del Rio, because, Christ, that would really put me to sleep.
So six, he's held about 6 months, and he hasn't done a memorable thing in your mind?
Trashing Del Rio's car was probably the thing that sticks in my mind the most, but of course that's pretty much the most recent thing he's done.
So who do you put fault in? Do you put that on Sheamus for not, you know, standing out, or is it the WWE's creative's fault?
Well, it's WWE creative. It's not Sheamus. Sheamus, you know, he's a good champion. He just needs somebody to, you know, work against. And Del Rio ain't it.
So he needs someone to work against. Which brings us to our next topic, the PWI 500. On the top
technically
of the
PWI 499.
Yeah.
I told you number 204 is armbar. I'm sure there's a wrestler out there called that.
No, it's a Fujiwara armbar.
I'm quite sure there's a few of them called Fujiwara.
So, rounding at the top of the list is CM Punk.
Should have been Bobby Roode.
Why is that? Why should the number one wrestler have been Bobby Roode?
Because she's a fucking fangirl.
Yes.
But you need to back the point up, fangirl. Come on.
I love Punk. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's a little overrated to put the WWE champion automatically as number one. Mm-hmm. Bobby Roode, I love Punk, but Punk really hasn't, at the time that they put this list out, progressed. He's just now starting the new gimmick when this list came out, so I'm not counting the heel turn. So from Summer of Punk last year to whenever this list was created and put out, he really hasn't developed much or done that much, in my opinion. Bobby Roode has made leaps and bounds. We've gotten tremendous matches out of him, and I just also think it would have been awesome to see the TNA champion on top, or former TNA champion, or even see go to Austin Aries.
Well, the list goes from June 1st to May 31st. Is how the list is put together. So in that calendar of a year.
In that calendar of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Still say it should have been Roode.
Do you remember who last year's number one was?
No.
The Miz.
Because he was champion at the time.
Last year's top five was The Miz, Randy Orton, John Cena, Kane, and Takeshi something or other. This year's top five, CM Punk, Bobby Roode, John Cena staying at number three. Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. As we start with the top five, any complaints on them? Besides Bobby Roode for you?
No.
What about you, Mace?
Sheamus. He needs to go lower. I'm sorry, he's not a top five. He'd be a top 20. But not a top five. That's the only one I have a problem with.
What about you, Tim? Any complaints about the top five?
Top five? I wouldn't put Sheamus as low as Mace just did, but I would put keep Sheamus in the top 10, but not at number five.
I would move
Austin Aries up to number five. He deserves it.
So going through this whole list, who's too high? Who's too low in your opinions?
About half of them.
Okay, and break it all down then, Tim.
No, because I'm not going to sit here all night and do 250 goddamn names that should be in 250 goddamn different places and have Spud back and say, get him, you know, have him call, Spud call in and say, oh, Jesus Christ, you have to ever see goddamn one of them? So forget it.
Okay, give me a few that you would move around then.
A few of them. Oh, my God. I hate you for making me do this. John Cena, not number three. Lower. Alberto Del Rio, not number 10. Number 15, maybe. Christian, I'd move him up a little bit. Dolph Ziggler, I'd move him up a hell of a lot. I'd put Dolph Ziggler in the top 10, not the top 16 or 20. Colt Cabana, can we put him at 500?
No, because
501.
501.
501. I like that. That would be good. That would make Brian Hardy better than him. I don't know who the hell that Brian Hardy is, but I'm sure he's better than Colt Cabana.
But Colt Cabana was a former NWA champion this year.
Fuck Colt Cabana, okay? There's a name on here. I'm just trying to look for it here. A name I'm exceedingly familiar with. I'm just trying to find it. God damn it, where the hell did you go? No. He didn't make the list, did he?
Who?
Ooh, Johnny Devine.
Is Jerry the King Lawler seriously in the top 10?
No, Kane Kitten's not Bret Hart. Don't be a wise ass.
No, Jerry Lawler is not in the top 10. Okay. Because if he was, I'd be having a fucking conniption right now because he'd be higher than James fucking Storm.
Yeah, apparently, Tim, they don't recognize the Canadian All-Pro World Champion.
He's not the world champion. He's the Commonwealth champion.
The Commonwealth champion, whatever.
The world championship's still vacant at the moment. That's why they didn't recognize him. But the guy that actually lost the title match to Hot Rod Johnny Devine made the list.
Vance Nevada.
There is number 307, Mr. Beefy Goodness, Vance Nevada.
So I'm going through this list. One name stuck out to me, and that was number 102.
Uh-oh.
The Great Khali.
Yeah, what the hell is he doing even making the top, 600?
He didn't fall over this year. He's having a good year, okay?
Okay, but they have him higher than Kid Cash. Really? They've got him higher than Tyson Kidd. Are you kidding me?
Fuck Kid Cash.
Well, no offense, but the Great Khali has shown up more than Kid Cash and Tyson Kidd in the time frame that they did this in.
They have him ahead of Ryback, and I'm going to let everybody else talk about that one. But Abyss is below the Great Khali.
Well, to sort of put this in perspective, we haven't exactly seen much of Abyss lately, which is why he's dropped so low.
Yeah, we've been stuck with his brother, the lawyer.
Yeah, hey, his brother, the lawyer, is pretty good.
His brother, the lawyer.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize who his brother is, so, you know.
Yeah. See, Ryback, he's been having a good year. I don't mind him at 111. That seems about right for him. He's for a newcomer to the list, that's not bad. This also shows how much the people that put this list together don't pay that much attention to the indies. Because if you take a look, most of the top 100 is done with a combination of WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor guys.
Crimson Maid number 41, are you serious?
He is undefeated this year.
Tensai is at 45.
Yeah, Tensai should definitely be lower.
So, but to go back to some numbers.
Samoa Joe at 51.
Wait, Barrett at 56?
Oh, shut up, Fangirl.
Tommy Dreamer's at 298.
Hold on. Robbie E at 66. What the fuck?
No.
No.
He should be disqualified for the list based on the sweaters alone.
Okay,
he's higher than Zack Ryder. What the fuck?
Ryder needs to be higher just for the bumps he took this year.
Okay, Mace, here's one for you. Steve Corino comes in at 240. Is he up too high or too low on the list, or is that just about right?
Considering Carino's only been doing Ring of Honor in Indy, yeah, that sounds about right for him.
Okay. Luke Gallows comes in at 301.
Does he
hasn't been around lately.
Does he even belong on the list?
No.
Yeah, what? I'm not saying Luke Gallows should be higher.
Luke Gallows is the current WXW champion down here in Australia. He deserves to be lower.
What about
just because he's working for WXW?
What about,
pretty much.
What about Sabu at 304? Does he belong there? Does he even belong on the list?
He needs to be off the list.
What about Dreamer at 298? Does he deserve the same that spot? Should he even be on the list?
He's deserves to be on the list, but as to where is a mystery. I think he deserves higher than what he got.
You got Petey Williams, 235. Chris Masters at 205.
Considering he hasn't been around, that's not bad for him.
JTG at 207.
Lower.
Scott Steiner at 218.
That's a punishment.
Is it?
Yeah. It seems like a punishment due to his recent comments. It's like, oh, he's not popular with us anymore.
Quackenbush is at 217? Really? Wow.
MVP, 262.
Yeah. It's like, very weird. Like, they've got Akebono here at 271. Dude's a sumo wrestler. It's the further down this list you go, the more you sort of get the feeling that they're just filling spots.
Well, that would be evidencing as they don't have a 204.
Yeah. Like, they've got Amazing Red at 353. When was the last time he even fucking wrestled?
There's a wrestler named Pinky Sanchez.
Yeah, see, the more I look at it, especially the lower I go, it seems that they're just filling spots. Mind you, 430, Sarah Del Rey. One of, I think, about three women to actually break into the PWI top 500.
Go her.
Now that's a good accomplishment.
Next Indeed. Year, number one.
But mind you, I want to, as much as I'm not on that show anymore, I want to know how many people on this list Alan has interviewed or knows. it's not a shot. That's like legitimate asking.
I know.
Alan has a better knowledge of indies than most people today. And I wouldn't actually mind hearing his opinions on this list, especially once they get into the indie bunch, which starts at somewhere about the 200 range. But what I am now waiting for is they usually bring out the sub list of the female top five. It's like top 200 or something.
Something like that.
I'm actually interested in that list. Whenever the hell it comes out.
I think that comes out in another month or so. Top 50, apparently.
It's a top 50. No. Either way, I'm interested to see what the list is.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see who comes out. Yeah, I'm looking through like some of the names. I think Alan's interviewed some of them. I think they've been on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Tuesday night,
9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WorldTalkRadio.com for a cheap chill.
Cheap chill. Yeah. So, any other mentions you want to bring up from the list?
One name that I noticed was missing.
Who's that?
Where's Raven?
Raven?
Yeah.
Oh, it figures.
Hey, look, if they can put Joe Nobody from fucking Minnesota on this list, Raven deserves something somewhere.
Has he wrestled this year?
I think so.
But are you sure?
He's done indie dates, I know that much.
The Big O is at 485.
What?
If you don't, do you know who the Big O is, Tim?
That's a radio station in Detroit, the Big O.
Yeah, we'll just...
Yeah. Yeah, let's just leave it at that, shall we? time to ring that bell and bring the cow out. Come on, let's go.
What number is he at?
The Big O is 485.
485.
Yes.
You know who I'm surprised is on the list? Sting.
Stang.
Stang.
Stank.
And why are you surprised?
Well, in comparison, he broke the top 50, and looking at the names in the top 50, he hasn't been wrestling as much as they have.
Yeah, but I reckon if they had a choice, they put Hulk Hogan in there somewhere as well, even though the guy hasn't wrestled in years.
I mean, fuck, he's above Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe.
The Appletini needs a separate induction.
It's 204.
Surprised they didn't put The Rock in there, or, you know, Brock Lesnar.
Or Taker.
Yeah.
Or Triple H.
Yeah.
But I guess there's some sort of qualification, you know, if the wrestle X amount of matches.
Pretty much. I think we're done looking at this list. For more information, please check out Tuesday night. So I'm quite sure Alan will be griping. Well, he'll probably be interviewing somebody off that list.
He'll probably be interviewing everybody on the list from 200 down.
Let's see. Trying to find his guess. Is he on this list? Number 75 from the PWI 500 will be live on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio this Tuesday night.
Now, 74.
No, we'll never get number 74. We don't
have
that clearance.
This is it. Like, I was looking through here, and I'm going, yep. See, I think he's had Eddie Edwards on at one point. He's had Kevin Steen.
See, start.
So he's interviewed a couple of top 20s. Christopher Daniels was on the rack. As we keep scrolling down, Colt Cabana.
Davey Richards was number 7. He was on the show at one point. Austin Aries was on just another goddamn wrestling show.
He's had the Briscoe Boys, number 63 and 65.
I think Roderick Strong's been on the show, or at least one of the shows.
Yep.
We had RVD at one point.
Kenny King at 84.
Kenny King's been on the show.
Zimmer Ion at 87.
Sammy Callahan, number 52, has been on the show. Adam Pearce, number 62, has been on shows. So,
ladies and gentlemen, please use the PWI 500 as a checklist for Alan Woodrick's interviews for the next 6 months.
Harry Smith at number 93.
It's the list that goes on and on.
Like the great debate.
Yeah, but first, it's time for Buy or Sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No! No! No!
First up for buy or sell, do you buy or sell this idea that Rey Mysterio is a future Hall of Famer, Tim Stein?
Well, you gotta buy it, but only thanks to Eddie Guerrero. Really, seriously. Rey is a good, you know, he's one of the best little wrestlers to ever come along the pipe, but that wasn't enough to get him in the Hall of Fame, in my personal opinion. He's fighting guys like two or three times his size, but when you know exactly how it goes into planning on on him winning and stuff like that. It kind of takes away the luster and the believability. I mean, who was it? Dwayne Johnson, who plays The Rock three times a year on WWE programming, once said that your superhero has to be believable, and that's why he didn't buy Toby, what's his name, as Spider-Man. He just wasn't believable, you know, legit believable as some kind of a tough guy. And problem I had with Ray, seeing him in the ring with guys that are three times his size, and Ray just dominates and beats the crap out of him, that's just stretching it a little too much for me. Mm-hmm. He gets the world championship, and you notice they don't call it the world heavyweight title when he holds it. It was given to him because Eddie Guerrero is his best friend. That's the only reason why he was world champion. As a result, they're going to wind up putting him in the Hall of Fame. He's not first ballot, but he'll be there eventually.
Lindsay, buy or sell?
Buy it. He's going in, but like Tim said, he's not a first ballot. He's going to be... He'll be a second tier. He'll still be a name that they'll trot out, but he's not going to be a first ballot. Unless they're somewhere with a high Hispanic population, and that's not meant to be shot, it's not meant to be racist, it's not meant to be anything, it's just they're doing the Hall of Fame now based on demographic to obviously sell the most tickets and sell it out. So the only way I see Mysterio being a first ballot is if they're in and around California, or they're back in Florida again, or pretty much in the South somewhere. But yeah, he's going in, but he's not going to be a first ballot.
Mace, buy or sell?
Buy it for all the reasons above, pretty much. He's, to be honest, his ring career, especially over the last few years, has not been anything spectacular. He's been injured and suspended more times than anyone can really count. And I reckon he's very undeserving. He's always been this mid-card guy, and it took the death of his best friend to bring him into the spotlight. So, he'll go in, but he doesn't deserve it.
Buy or sell the idea that Christian is the man to induct Sting into the TNA Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory, Mace?
Sell, because they already got their one appearance out of him.
No. He's going to be there again.
The deal was once. One time.
No, reportedly, he's going to be there, and he's going to be the inducting Sting into the TNA Hall of Fame. Do you buy it? Sell it? You know, that whole idea. Sell.
Sell it. Dude's in the WWE. He doesn't need to be there.
Lindsay.
Sell on the premise of why would Christian be the ideal candidate to induct Sting. I can think of so many more people other than Christian who have a better tie to Sting that they could bring in.
Foley.
Even Foley. You could have Hogan do it. Crap. You could have Nash come in and do it. You could have any of the old WCW guys come in. Because when I think of Sting, I think of WCW, NWO, all that kind of stuff. I don't think of Christian. Christian has nothing to do with Sting, other than maybe the blip of time together that they were in WWE, or I'm sorry, in TNA.
The moment they shared a cup of coffee backstage.
Okay, so they shared a cup of coffee. You know what? There are so many other people in that company right now that have a better history with Sting than Christian. I think to bring him in and induct Sting, if they do have him for a second shot, is a waste. I'm sorry, it is. It's a waste.
Tim, bye.
The only thing that these two people have in common is Christian's name and Sting's religion.
Nice one, Tim.
It's one and the same. That's all there is to it. You want the ideal person to induct Sting into any Hall of Fame? Ric Flair.
Bit of a problem there, Tim.
Yeah, but still, he's the guy that, you know, if it would you buy Ric Flair? Yeah. The answer is shut up and take my money. But, Kristen, yeah, you know, like you said, cup of coffee is like, where's the history? Where's the camaraderie? Where's the friendship that we all are supposed to know about and shit like that? Why is TNA trying to get publicity for themselves in such a feeble manner when everybody knows WWE is like, oh, you want them? Sure, fine, use them, go ahead. We're not telling anybody. So, sell. Sell, sell, sell!
Buy or sell, Del Rio is someone you could build your wrestling company around from the ground up as the star attraction. Lindsay.
Oh, I have to think about this for a second. Rent with the option to buy. Just because I think if they developed Del Rio more, if Del Rio was developed more, I think he could be. Also, he seemed to be a big enough star in Mexico that he obviously got WWE's attention, so he does have the potential to be that star. It's just he's got a really stagnant character right now.
Mace, buy it or sell?
I'd buy it. But if we're using this as a way to build a company in sort of the terms of like a Ring of King type deal, but done in Mexico, by all means, I'll buy it. Because Del Rio is a big enough star, has enough credibility in Mexico, that you can build a company around him. If you're going to do it in the US, not so much. So if we're in Mexico, then I'll buy it. If we're not in Mexico, I'm going to sell it.
Tim.
God damn you, Mace. You stole my answer.
See, Lindsay, what did I tell you? We spend too much time together. We steal each other's thoughts.
Yeah, you
okay,
know...
What am I thinking right now?
Lindsay, cut that out. Yeah, you know, like, take my pesos, but don't take my dollars, American or Canadian.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Okay, which means...
But you already know that.
With that...
Because we're psychic.
With that, it's time for the great debate.
Hit the smell what the Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious for what?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
Starting things off is Mr. Perfect versus the BWO. Actually, the one week we need Omega. If you don't know,
that's why he's not really here. He knew it was happening.
I know, and that's why he bailed, because he knew that we were playing the BWO theme, and you know, he doesn't want to be tied in with that theme any longer.
Why?
I don't know.
You really don't know?
No, I don't.
Okay. This goes back into the days where we were all nice little fans and sitting in chat room listening to a show called WNL. every year they would do a recap special around Christmas time.
Yes, I know.
And guess who was the one who produced it every year for about 3 years?
Yeah, it couldn't have been Omega, because nobody on the Wild Talk Radio Network has ever helped out WNL with anything.
Never. Oh, bullshit.
Never.
Just ask them. They'll tell you.
Anyway. Yes, that's why Omega, every time Omega would lead into a clip, he would play the BWO music. I even made a parody of it during an OTL recap show where I would play the exact same music just to rip that's off his fun. Gimmick. That's why he hates that music and no longer wants to be associated with it, because it's so many years of painful listening to show clips to put together a show.
Yeah, I know. I think, hold on, let me see, I'm going to check this. Yeah. Because I did this to him once.
Hey people, this is Omega, the main event of Wrestle Talk Radio. You climb into the ring after every WWE pay-per-view. Go into the news, all the hits, and all the misses. So join me, the Omega, Nick, and that other guy, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank God he got a better mic.
Thank God he got a better mic and better co-host. That guy Nick. Remember that guy Nick? Anyway, great debate. Mace, go first. BWO or Mr. Perfect?
As much as I'm going to cop flack for this, I'm going with the BWO. The BWO was a group of people who were a parody of one of the biggest stables in professional wrestling history. And their music reflects that. It's very playful, it's very upbeat, it's very silly sounding. Whereas Perfect's, it has a grandiose nature, definitely. But it feels like something that should go more to somebody with a royal gimmick like Jerry Lawler. So it just, to me, it never really fit him. It didn't sound perfect.
Lindsay.
I'm just going to go with Mr. Perfect because to me it's more iconic. And you hear that music and you know who it is to a certain degree. I mean, back in the day when you heard that music, you knew who it was. Now, hearing the BWO music, it really could have gone to anybody. And this is true for both themes, obviously, but just for the BWO, I have to agree with Mace. It's very playful. It's fun to listen to, but it could be anybody's theme. So it's just doesn't really do much for me.
Tim?
Well, you know, whenever Perfect's music hit, you knew somebody was going to wind up with some chewed up gum in their hair. And you knew you were also in for one hell of a great match. The guy could make a broomstick look good. But, yeah, the music didn't suit him. It didn't fit him. I reluctantly have to pick the BWO because you know some really weird shit's going to go down when they come out.
So the BWO moves on.
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly, the BWO moves on. Up next, the NWO versus the NWO. So, Lindsay, NWO original or NWO Wolfpack?
Is there an option C?
No.
They're both awful.
I can give you NWO Japan?
No.
That would only be your option C, but yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Wolfpack just because it doesn't sound like it belongs in a cheap porno. Although
yes,
it's just... Fine, it sounds like it belongs less in a cheap porno than the original. The Wolfpack would be like the credit roll.
And I just want to know why your thought process always automatically at least three times a month goes to cheap pornos. What are you not telling us, Lindsay?
I'm friends with Omega. What do you expect?
Yeah, alrighty then.
But yeah, it just... God, both themes are awful. I have to go cleanse my ears now.
Tim, Wolfpack or the originals?
The original I used to like for about 5 minutes when NWO Black and White split into NWO Black and White and NWO Red and Black. I have to admit, I was a Red and Black fan because they were just, you know, cooler than Black and White because they had red in it. So, you know, NWO Wolfpack.
Mace.
I'm going the original. The original sounds grittier. It sounds like it was literally something somebody threw together using a copy of Audacity. It sounds like something we'd slap together if we actually decided to be that lack of effort. And that's what the whole NWO thing was about. It was cheap. It was gritty. That was the whole thing of the group before it became oversaturated. And it's reflected in that original music. Whereas the Wolfpack just sounds generic. It sounds like an afterthought, which is pretty much what the group was.
So the Wolfpack moves on, just like the BWO moved on. Up next week, Randy Savage popping circumstance against Jake the Snake Roberts.
Ooh, yeah.
Chris Jericho's Break Down the Walls against Randy Orton's Voices in Your Head. So that's next week on The Great Debate.
Yay.
But you know what this means now, Tim?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
These are user submitted, I should mention.
Okay, well, wait a minute. What user? Kane Kitten sent these in, didn't he?
He did.
Okay, we're not answering any of them.
No, these are good.
You,
these
no,
are good.
No,
are...
no, no. No.
Tim, we're starting with you.
Five.
What three names would you induct into a Wrestling Hall of Fame? The first three names you would induct to a Wrestling Hall of Fame.
The first three names I would induct into a Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Just like what? Just a
yeah.
General, generic, whatever Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. One of them is Owen Hart. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a Japanese guy who trained a lot of training during the territory days. Fuck. What was his name?
I couldn't help you.
No, you can't help me. I can't remember his goddamn name. Damn it.
Get Alan Wojcik on the horn, please. As a lifeline. He would know.
Yeah, call up Alan. Alan, who's the Japanese guy? Oh, that was Makanaka Nakarapa or whatever.
Macadamia nut?
No, that's Hawaiian. Oh, fuck, what was his name? Masada? Was that it?
I don't know, Tim.
I'm not letting go until I get this name.
Oh, fuck. Get comfortable.
Damn it.
Everyone start naming Japanese wrestlers. Misawa? The Great Muta?
The Great Muta? The Great Muta.
Is that who you're thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, the Great Muta.
Really, that's who you were thinking of? And you were
no, it's not. We're just because... Mr. Hito.
Okay.
Matsu Hito.
Inoki? I don't know.
No, it's Mr. Sakurada. Taught Japanese strong style, and Mace, you know Japanese strong style.
Yeah, stiff as fuck.
Yeah, and like a lot of people might not know the difference between Japanese strong style and other styles, but yeah, Japanese strong style is very, very stiff. And when a wrestler gets hit in the ring, everybody knows he got hit in the ring, not just the wrestler. And
that's because his teeth landed in the seventh row.
Yeah. But it sure made for entertaining fights in the ring, I'll tell you. That's who it was. Guy never wrestled really in North America, but trained a lot of the guys. In WWF, WCW, and Memphis Wrestling, stuff like that. The ones that had really, really strong ring psychology and were able to tell great stories in the ring and make it look everything look real when it was going on. Who's the third one? Number three.
You've gone Canadian, Japanese, so you need to go British?
No, I gotta go back to Canada and do Stu Hart.
Okay.
And before everybody gives me, oh, he's a homer, a fucking Canadian, I figure Stu, he's still gonna hurt your dick. Stu Hart was doing shit that Stampede Wrestling, that WWE, you know, like in the 50s and 60s, that WWE was doing in the 80s and the 90s.
I didn't say a word, Tim.
I'm just saying, because I can just see it coming in the chat room with Real Kane Kittens, little prick. Anyway, move on.
We're not Spug, remember this.
We're not what?
We're not Spug.
No, that still doesn't mean you guys don't pick on me because I'm Canadian and I like Bret Hart, so fuck off! Because you do!
Lindsay, what is the worst match you can remember ever watching?
God, there's so many.
I love the smell of packing tape in the morning.
It was a girls' match. I don't remember.
Any girls' match in WWE.
There we go. There's the answer. Pretty much any girls' match in WWE.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead, Tim.
No, nothing.
No, make your point.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Okay, Mace. What is your favorite Goldberg match?
The one against the guy that lasted 2 seconds.
Was that guy number 1, 2, 3, 50, 135?
I don't actually have a favorite Goldberg match.
Wait a second. No. That just sounds like the impossible question.
Yeah, because they're all the same bloody matches with a different person every week. But instead of that, I'll give you a random bit of trivia. The Goldberg's music was originally used in WCW for a Japanese wrestler. Back in 1996. Recycled music for the win.
By the way, you can thank CB Radio for that question. In the third hour, we were asking for random questions from the chat room to just, you know, entertain Lindsay as she was working.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anyway, that brings us back up to Tim. Tim.
Boring.
Yes, we know you are. If you had an action figure made of yourself, what three accessories would come with it?
An action figure with three accessories?
Mm-hmm.
And what are normal accessories with action figures?
Well, our toy collector's not here to help you out, so.
Yeah, I don't.
Guns, martini glasses, purses.
No.
What, you don't have a merce?
No, I don't.
Ooh,
my dad had one.
Ooh, cane kittens. Ooh.
Homebrew, a hollow cane that the homebrew gets poured into, and a walker that I can use to break over cane kittens and Jersey Girl's head with. I don't know.
Ooh, I like the Bret Hart wrestling buddy. That's a good idea.
Oh, no.
So realistically, what are three accessories you would have?
An AK-47. A Beretta.
All of a sudden, that toy is now being denied sale in the U.S. and everywhere else.
And let's see. An AK-47, a Beretta, and a really, really cool sports car.
Okay. The Tim Stein action figure comes with bottles of homebrew, a still, and a headset.
I have a funny feeling I'm going to hate this thing that you sent me.
Oh, you're going to love it, Tim.
I just hit pause and I hate it already, goddammit. You know I'm kidding.
I know.
Lindsay, what was the worst in-ring gimmick character ever used by a pro wrestler?
He was an indie guy. His name was Blackjack. This guy had lavender pink hair, weighed about 500 pounds, complete with the belly hanging over his thighs, and he came out in itty bitty shorts. It was disgusting.
That's for sure.
One rock.
Anyway, so there you go.
What the?
you okay there, Tim?
No, I'm not, damn it.
Okay. So, Mace, cast the WTR crew as members of Full House.
Fucking prick.
Oh, God, now you're stretching the limits of my brain capacity power. I barely remember what any of the characters were called on Full House.
Uncle Jesse, Joey, DJ, the twins, and the other one.
And the other one?
And that guy.
Hold on. To the Wikipedias! Seriously, I have to Wikipedia Full House just to remember the fucking cast. Let's have a look. Alright, alright, we'd have Tim as Danny Tanner. Omega would be Joey Gladstone.
He's got to be Joey.
He's got to be Joey.
Except for Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, true. He did a horrible Kermit the Frog impression.
Okay, answer the rest of it with your Kermit the Frog voice.
No.
Oh, come on, do it.
Fuck off.
Entertain me, fucking Ozzy.
No. I'll fire you for my life, dammit. Unfortunately, there's nobody I could put in the Uncle Jesse role because nobody on this network could pull off that look.
Can Omega pull a doubleheader?
No.
You sure that's not Alan Wojcik?
No, nobody. No, Mace is right. Nobody on this network could look like Uncle Joey with the facial expressions and shit. No.
Yeah.
I would be the closest with the facial expressions, but no.
Yeah, I have no idea. Question fail. Because to be honest, when you take a look at the cast, you have.
There are more girls than guys.
You got a bunch of girls.
There's more girls than guys. It's not exactly feasible to cast that. And I'm sorry, Lindsay can't do that many roles.
Yeah, can I make a suggestion to anybody who would like to submit, you know, user questions for this segment?
That one wasn't one from King Kids. That was one of the topics talked about last night in our chat room.
All right. Well, you know, like if anybody is gonna do something like that, make sure that it's like a TV show or a movie that we know. I'm just saying.
Oh, believe me, I know plenty of shows. It just takes a minute to jog the memory when it's something I haven't watched in 20 years. If you're going to submit something like that, research it first. Make sure that there's enough characters. Remember, we only have one female on this network now. But we have enough males to cover most shows. And for the love of God, stop sending the fucking shows anyway!
Yeah, that's why a question like the Big Bang Theory works. But... Full House doesn't.
Exactly.
You know what? Since Omega popped up online, I say he calls in and he answers his quick hits at questions.
Yeah, call
him.
We're gonna
leave
online.
We're gonna leave. We're gonna leave him. Leave him be. I'm quite sure he's probably stressed out enough. We'll talk to him after the show goes off the air, which means somebody start plugging shit.
Tim, plug shit.
Yeah, that's summed up. No, I've been plugged up enough this weekend. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's another edition of. That's another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I wasn't here for the whole show because I was busy driving on the highway, which was a hell of a lot of fun. Thanks once again to Andy Steven from PWI. Andy Steven, I need to talk to you. We got to set up my my account to post my notoriously famous and extremely controversial wrestling column, Pieces of My Mind, on PW Mania. So we need to talk. Tomorrow night, after Raw, it's the Raw post show with Ciroc and Mace and some chick. I don't remember what her name is. Lindsay, maybe you do.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Join Lindsay, Rock, and Mace tomorrow night for the Raw post show. And that'll be on like 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air, maximum. It could be 20 minutes, depending on the overrun.
Okay. Right, yeah, you're good. Keep going, Tim.
Okay, just check it. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcicki, whatever the... Alan shows up and does a show and interviews people from the PWI list from 250 to 500.
Number 75 or number 76 will be on the show. I forget what number. I think it's 75.
But not number 74 because he's busy taping SmackDown.
Yeah, and then kayfabe's all pending hurricanes. And anyway...
Yeah. And then, of course, Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with Cheap Wood Paneling, where they talk wrestling. And it'll be interesting to find out if they can talk about stuff we don't. Tune in to find out. Thursday night, Lindsay shows off her rack because, hey, today, International Topless Day. Lindsay?
No, I wasn't going around topless, sorry.
I'm just saying that today was International Topless Day.
But you know what? We'll be covering all the topless guys on TNA Impact Wrestling after it airs Thursday night. We've also got news and tidbits, discussions, and a whole bunch of other crap. So tune in 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Thursday.
Hey, There you go. Friday night, nothing's happening because we got other things to do. Saturday, midnight-ish, or as close as he can get everybody together, Rock brings you CB Radio.
Yeah, we do. We talk weird, wacky, unusual. We talked about Subway's trip to Atlanta last night, and we entertained Lindsay while she was at work. So check out the archive of CB Radio. 3 hours and something odd minutes of a show. Check it out.
Yeah, there you go. And then next Sunday night, another edition of WTRS Night Rush Talk Radio. I'll tell you guys right now, the odds are really good that I won't be available next weekend because I probably won't have internet. I have to get my ass out of the place I'm living in right now and into a new place by September 1st, which is Saturday, meaning that I'll have to get my internet and everything else switched around to wherever it is I wind up living in. So just letting you know, I might not be here again next week.
We are so devastated.
Oh,
I can tell.
Fuck, I have to host this show again. God damn it. Anyway.
Anyway, that's it. Get out of here. Get out my lawn. Can kittens, go shoot yourself.
Be nice to our listeners, will you?
All right. Make sure you use rubber bullets. And be sure to have a Coke and a smile.
WildTalkRadio.com.